even
that
mean?
How can you do that in a tasteful way? Yeah, exactly. The petition now has 5,000.
I don't even know how to talk about this.
767 signatures so far, and lots of media attention, as you can imagine, including a piece from the Christian Science Monitor jumping on it.
So 700 and some signatures.
Which examined 5,767 signatures.
I'll listen closer.
The Christian Science Monitor examined if they could even get married where they live, and then they found out they live in New York.
So it's cool.
So they can get married. Why?
Muppets can marry in
why
New York.
Must Bert and Ernie get married? Can't they just be friends? Can't we all just get along? Can't they just be friends?
Isn't Big Bird going to feel left out?
Well, they were actually taught. They were created to teach preschoolers that people can be good friends with those who are very different from themselves.
I don't know.
Even though they're identified as male characters and they possess many of human traits and characteristics, they are puppets. And they do not have sexual orientation. Can't they be just friends? All 5,767 people there that signed that just need to rethink this.
Worldwide, that's all the signatures they've managed to collect.
Well, by now, it's a week later. I wanted to talk about it last week, and now they might have more by now. But isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
They want Bert and Ernie to get married because they're sleeping in the same, you know, sleeping together. What do you think of that?
I live and breathe politics, but that's taking it too far. You've got to put them into your children's show now?
Yeah. I mean, that's just crazy.
That's crazy.
Now, who would come up with that? I don't want to say two gay guys, but...
We all know it.
Who would
we
come up with that?
We all know who came up with that petition.
Oh, my God. I mean, kids.
It was not a heterosexual Mormon.
When they're watching Bert and Ernie, they're still sucking their thumb. They're not thinking about all that other stuff.
Can you imagine the conversations around the...
Can you imagine?
Mommy, Bert and Ernie are getting married, and I want to see
married.
It.
I know. And what are they going to do now?
Well, yeah, what does that mean, Mommy?
How are they going to have babies?
Oh, no.
I mean, that's going to come up.
You know what? I've never watched Sesame Street.
You never watched Sesame Street?
I raised two little girls, and I never watched.
You didn't allow them to watch it?
No,
or why
I just
did you
didn't
never
watch it myself.
You were off at school. I mean, at work. You were off at work. School. You were young.
In my house, it was like, get out of the house. I'm watching basketball. That's, you know, they were outside in the snow.
Are you kidding me? Don't you start that.
They'll probably call in now and say.
Well, your parents are going to be calling in and saying, how dare you say that about our grandkids? All right, Casey Anthony's in the news again. Of course, now they're calling her back because they say that she needs to serve 1 year of supervised probation for the check fraud conviction that she had. Did you read about that?
No.
I don't care. You didn't care about it till everybody was talking about it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, she, of course, was found not guilty. She was let go for the charge of killing her own daughter. But people still fear that that's not true. And during the trial... Strickland, who was the judge, Judge Stan Strickland, he was quoted in court in a transcript from January of 2010 that ordered her to serve a year of supervised probation. Well, now he's saying that the court reporter didn't add in two words, once released.
Oh.
They were not in the transcript, so supposedly she was paying the probation while she was in jail.
Yeah. You know,
now he wants her to come back and do a year supervised probation.
Is he just having second thoughts about his decision?
No, I think he's just trying to grind it in. I mean, he doesn't believe she's innocent. I think he's just putting the screws to her. But they're going to keep her address and everything. She hasn't been heard from. Nobody knows where she's living or who's putting up with her.
Speaking of people who let go and we're not sure if they're innocent, they just let these two or three guys in Arkansas go. Did you see that story?
Yes, I did. I was going to get to that next.
Somebody brutally killed some young boys.
Well, there were three.
20 years ago?
Yeah.
30 years ago?
Let me find that on there. They were serving 18 years. They've been in jail for 18 years, in prison, for 18 years for allegedly killing three Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Three Arkansas men. They were granted freedom on Friday during a surprise hearing. After spending 18 years in prison for the horrific murder of three 8-year-old Boy Scouts, they're called the West Memphis Three.
Right. Now, did all three of them get released?
I wonder why they're called the West Memphis Three. Yes, all three of them.
West Memphis is in
Damien
on the other side
Eccles,
of the river.
Jason Baldwin, and Jesse Miss Kelly. They were released from custody on Friday. There's a dramatic release of the men, and it's really stirring up a whole lot of crazy stuff. But here's what they said. They pled guilty. The one kid pled guilty way back when, but they say he was mentally retarded.
And he's the one that got the other two in trouble by saying they did it.
Right.
Then he recanted.
Exactly. Then he recanted because he didn't know what he was saying. They were, you know, hounding him. And
right.
I mean, almost everybody who comes up for murder ends up pleading guilty before they're through with them.
And basically, his confession is what got them all released because it was so illogical. He told them, well, in his confession, they said they had sex with him, but there was no sexual.
They did some DNA. They had DNA, yeah. And none of them were linked to it.
Right.
The DNA. Two of them were drowned, and the other one was mutilated.
And so we have no idea, really.
No, we have no
idea. At this point, who did it?
We have no idea who did it, if they did it. They did.
It's a good chance that these three did do it.
What I'm curious about, well, they still believe they did, and that's what I'm wondering about. The plea bargain, it was a plea bargain. The trio struck actually does not exonerate them.
Right.
They pled guilty. Though their DNA was not found at the scene, under what's called an Alford plea, the three are allowed to maintain their innocence, but must acknowledge that the prosecutors have enough evidence to convict them. What?
Yeah, some states have that.
I don't understand that
don't
at all.
I don't think we have that in Nevada, where you plead guilty, but you're still maintaining your innocence. How can you maintain
your
innocence?
How can you plead guilty how can you plead guilty and maintain your innocence? You said you're guilty. But I guess the other two didn't plead guilty.
The whole point is, I guess, so that they can do a plea bargain of some sort. And in this case, the plea bargain released them. After 20 years.
18 years.
20 years.
Mm-hmm. And of course...
you just want to throw something at me, don't you?
The father of one of them that was murdered is just ready to... Yeah. They're probably going to have to throw him in jail. He is just absolutely beside himself. They did not kill my son. Yes, they did. Right. We don't know. We don't know what happened.
We know. And that's the trouble. There's some cases you just never can be happy with. Casey Anthony, a lot of people think she did kill her daughter. But the justice system, I think I would rather have a justice system that errs on the side of releasing a few guilty people than have it incarcerating people who are innocent. What do you think?
Alford guilty plea originated in the United States Supreme Court case of North Carolina, Alford, 1970. Thank you, Sean. He's scrolling it up for me. Henry Alford had been indicted on a charge of first-degree murder in 1963. Evidence in the case included testimony from witnesses that Alford had said after the death of the victim that he had killed the individual. He told them that he had killed the individual. Court testimony showed Alford and the victims argued at the victim's house. Alford left the house, and afterwards the victim received a fatal gunshot wound when he opened the door, responding to a knock. So Alford was faced with the possibility of capital punishment if convicted in a jury trial. The death penalty was automatic sentence by North Carolina law at that time. Don't move it so fast. My eyes are going, bing, 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 bing. The defendant had pleaded not guilty, and the jury did not instead recommend a life sentence. Had he pled guilty to the first-degree murder, then he could have gotten the death penalty. That still doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it still doesn't make sense.
Then he appealed and requested a new trial, arguing that he was forced into the guilty plea because he was afraid of receiving the death sentence. Then he entered the guilty plea. Whatever. Following the ruling. Okay. He petitioned.
This is Alford E. Newman verdict? Is that what you
Might
said?
Might as well be Alford E. Newman. What it is saying that they pled guilty. And then when they found out they could be convicted of it and get the death penalty, they pled guilty so they didn't get the death penalty, but then they actually weren't guilty.
You don't understand it.
They only pled guilty so they wouldn't get the death penalty. So then later on in life, they go, okay, well, we pled guilty just so we wouldn't get the death penalty, but we're really innocent. That's what it is.
So now you
the
can plead
Alfred
guilty.
E. Newman.
Now you can plead guilty while pleading not guilty.
Exactly. Now you pled guilty, but now you can plead not guilty.
Only in the American justice system could something like this work.
And now while they're out there saying now they can prove their innocence. Well, good luck. What kind of a life do they face?
Sometimes you just never know, and you have to let them go.
You never know. You just have to let them go. I'm going
to
let it go
Words
on that one. Don't hold that thought, JP. Stick with us. We'll be back. We've got more to come on Broadview.
The Buzz.
You most likely knew that RenewMD is the established leader in custom skin refinement in our area, led by board-certified in plastic surgery, Dr. James Murphy. But did you know RenewMD leads our area in Botox treatments, and patients have given RenewMD more than a 99% rating for exceptional service? It's true. More than 99% of customers to RenewMD have given excellent rating in the services and products provided. Summer is nearing its end, and RenewMD wanted to give its best special of the season before it ends. For one day and one day only, RenewMD will offer Botox for just $9 a unit. Whether this is your first treatment ever or you've experienced the wonderful reduction in wrinkles, this is the time to call RenewMD and schedule your appointment. This coming Friday, August 26, RenewMD will offer Botox at the incredible rate of just $9 a unit. Call RenewMD today at 852-4500 for your appointment before it fills up. RenewMD, call 852-4500.
Welcome back to Broadview, a weekly program with updates and discussions of the issues and hot buttons of Northern Nevadans. Phone lines are